Welcome back to Through the Word. Peyton Jones here, and today we'll be in Psalm 5, a good song for bad times. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 5 is a sad song, but sad songs say so much. Before David gets singing, he gets writing, dedicating this psalm to the director of music. Read the title, For the Director of Music for Pipes, a Psalm of David. For the director of music could mean it's an instruction for this to be used for worship, addressed to the director of worship at the temple, perhaps. Or maybe David's dedicating this song to the director of all music, the one who gave David his inspiration, the one who invented music. Either way, David expects you to have your pipes ready. Any flautists out there? The title even tells us it's meant to be played on pipes. Whoa, that does sound kind of sad. David wants us to listen to more than the music. He wants us to listen to his words. And not just us. He wants God to listen too. Verse 1. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. A lament is a complaint, but not just any kind of complaint. It's what you sing when your heart's breaking. Like a country music singer looking for an outlet, or a man singing the blues. Perhaps this song is like a sad country western song, where David, wrenching his heart, drips tears on the pages as he writes. You can hear the somber flute playing, a sad tune in verse 2. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. David here doesn't feel like God is listening. I've felt that way, and I'm sure you have too. Sometimes when you're in pain, you can feel that God must not care for you, or he'd never let you feel the kind of pain you do. Sometimes pain is disorienting. Heartache is confusing. So David, desperate, tries to get God's attention as he takes up the flute and the song. Hear my cry for help. He calls God, my King. David knew what it meant to be king. People came to see him every day to plead their case with him. Because he was in power, he could help. But now David needs God to be his king, to hear him plead his own case. Verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Like those who waited outside the palace doors, day after day, on the outside, looking in, waiting for the doors to open. So David is waiting for God to open the doors to him, to listen to him. David feels like he's outside the throne room of heaven, calling out to God to be heard. But David doesn't pray like someone throwing spaghetti to the wall, hoping something will stick. David says he waits expectantly. That's like someone praying for rain who brings an umbrella. He expects God to answer because he knows what kind of king God is. And in verse 4, he tells him so. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and deceitful. You, Lord, detest, but delights in humble, kind people and defends them and takes up their case. Verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. After that long laundry list of other people's sins, David knows he's far from perfect. He's been arrogant. He's lied. He's also been wicked at some points. Therefore, he knows that it's only by God's great love that he can come into God's house. So the great King David bows down reverently in humility. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. And now in verse 8, he makes his request. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. What humility David shows here. Look at the humility that David continues to show. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. So far, His confidence has been not in himself, but in God's love. And now it's in God's righteousness rather than his own. The enemies here have David surrounded. Lead me because of my enemies. David needs God to be his satellite navigation to keep him from misstepping. Make your way straight before me. Saying make your way straight before me is like saying, let me see the path. If you've ever been lost on a hike, you know how easy it is to lose sight of the path. And the more you try to rely on your own sense of direction when you're lost, the more lost you become. David needs to get back on the path. His enemies are a real threat. There's real danger here. David can't afford to mess around. How about you? Wouldn't life be so easy if it weren't about people? David is encountering the familiar people problems we all face. And like us, he doesn't quite know how to handle this situation, them, or even himself. Have you ever been there? I'm sure you have that go-to person on speed dial that you always call when you're in a bad situation to get wisdom on navigating those scenarios with difficult people. But for David, that person was God. Make your way straight before me. Verse 9 tells us a little more. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. Their words can't be trusted, but God's can. Nothing they say is true. Their heart is filled with evil, so that when they open their throat to speak, death and disgustingness comes out. They've been telling lies about David, but now David wants God to tell the truth about them. Verse 10, declare them guilty, O God. They are guilty, but David isn't done. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. And then suddenly, David switches his tune to something more upbeat in verse 11. But let all those who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Wait a second. Gladness? Joy? Rejoicing? Hey, David, this is supposed to be a lament. The flute? The dirge? The mournful tune, remember? Kind of breaking the mood here. But now we see that David has not only changed his tune, he's changed his words. Now the pipes seem to be playing a victory song, one that swells and builds like a crashing of waves, not of sadness, but the waves of God's love washing over him. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. That made a difference. David has taken his refuge in God, and now he feels God spreading protection over him like a mother bird protecting her young. It's a beautiful picture. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Ever means always, even in the bad times, even when things have not yet been resolved. Like David, we can remember God's goodness to us in the midst of hard times. A good song for bad times. David wants us to remember God is protecting us even when we can't feel it, or when we can't see it. When we can't feel it or see it, we can still know it. And before the song ends, I can hear the tune change one more time, slowing to a meditative conclusion in verse 12. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with favor as with a shield. David has God's blessing, God's favor. He's been surrounded with that favor as with a shield. He's safe in God's love, despite his outward circumstances. David doesn't see everything he wants, but he knows that he has everything he needs. Like Paul, he can say, cast down yet not forsaken, having nothing yet possessing everything. My friends, if you're in a place today where your heart is lamenting your circumstances, this song is for you. God hears your pain and hurt. He wants you to know that you can rejoice and be glad, despite your pain and circumstances. Because God is in the midst of our pain, not denying it, negating it, not even correcting it, as Christians might do. but hearing it, validating it. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And God's favor is a powerful reason for us to change our tune.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.